Hi, and welcome to today's episode of The Property Pod. I'm Libby, and today I'm joined by Jamie of IP12 Lettings in Woodbridge. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on. And he's just going to speak to us a bit about lettings and sort of the basics of that. So, yeah, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So tell us a bit about IP12.
We are a local independent lettings agency based in IP12 or Woodbridge.
Yeah.
Set up purely by myself in 2016. I set it up on the basis of trying to change your perception of your average estate agent or letting agent, for example. Mm. Saw a bit of a grey area in the market where there was like the need for just a focused letting agent that purely dealt with just property rentals within the Woodbridge area, hence the name. I sort of went for it.
Yeah, cool.
To be honest.
Sounds really cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fab. And do you think you've seen more people renting in Woodbridge and the sort of surrounding area since COVID?
Definitely during lockdown, 100%. I would say that it's more of a locality of clients at this present moment in time.
Yeah.
However, during the lockdown, I felt like there was definitely people from London, for example. Mm. I would say that were able to move from the city and potentially half their rent and get a bigger property, especially with them working from home, and the need for them to go into offices, for example, wasn't there. Mm. We had a massive influx, quite frankly, of people that were just contacting us who were spending, say, £3,000 a month in Clapham on like a shared accommodation as a couple, but that were then able to half their rent for £1,500 and get like a three-bed property in Woodbridge with still the train links to London, etc. So, yeah, there was a massive demand for that during lockdown. I'd say there is still a slight demand for people outside of the area, but at this present moment in time, I would say it's more of a locality of people from Woodbridge or surrounding areas that are looking to stay in the area or move from Ipswich to Woodbridge, for example, etc., etc.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like mad how much the difference is between London prices and here. It's just crazy how much more you can get for your money. So
definitely.
Especially with people like remote working and hybrid working 100%. Nowadays.
And still, I think people understand that if you work in East London, for example, it's only a slight hour and a half commute, quite frankly.
Really good.
Whereas if you live in West London and commute to West London to East London, it's still around the same time. Mm. So from a rental point of view, you could save quite a lot of money by living in an area like Woodbridge with a direct train link, or even Ipswich, for example.
Yeah.
And I think people are now starting to realise that you don't have to sort of eat, sleep and breathe where you work.
Exactly, yeah. It's nice to have the difference. 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Indeed. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. And what advice would you give to like budding property investors, do you think?
At the moment, I would say being aesthetically pleasing, which is quite a good thing if you've invested in a property. I think I mentioned to you prior to the podcast about being sort of magnolia and cream is sort of gone of the days now of like from a photographic point of view, should I say. White walls, grey carpets, etc. are very modern nowadays, and just that slight spending to make your house aesthetically pleasing does make all of the difference. As much as I feel that the property market is quite high at the moment with respect of sales, there are still very good properties to purchase for investment. But you make sure that you've got the right idea, the right area, you've done your figures, etc. Speak to an agent like myself or even other independent letting agents who know what they're doing, for example, that can provide you with the best and that sort of an analytic point of view of how much you can achieve for the property. So that you're making the right investment choice, really.
Yeah, definitely.
That's probably the best way I can put it. But I think from an aesthetically pleasing point of view is definitely something I would advise. Please don't paint your house magnolia is what I want to say.
Bright orange.
Yeah, because it's just gone of those days now. And
yeah.
I think people spend money and paint it magnolia and unfortunately just outdates it straight away.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I said, with regards to like social media and Instagram, Facebook, a lot of agents are using that nowadays. And quite frankly, no one really cares who the agent is until they click on your property.
Mm.
So photographs, for example, from my point of view, are massive. And if an investor or a landlord has spent money or made the property to a good standard for photographs, then you'll be able to let your house relatively easy.
Yeah, definitely. I think like little details like that, especially if you promote it on social media and stuff, it just makes such a difference.
100%. So, yeah, definitely. Indeed. Yeah, and currently grey and white is in. So,
yeah, nice.
Yeah, I would say that.
Definitely, fab. And what are your tips for a new landlord?
A new landlord, I would say regulations are changing quite dramatically. Mm. We give out a checklist on every valuation based on what we perceive to be a precedent, such as cleaning, gardening, etc. They're not mandatory items, but are what we would say set a precedence for the tenant, for example. Mm-hmm. Have your property professionally cleaned, including carpets. We will compile an inventory and schedule of condition, which effectively will keep the evidence based on what the landlord has done prior to a tenant moving in. And you should, 9 times out of 10, receive the property back in the same standard as what you provided it, subject to fair wear and tear. Mm-hmm. But mandatory items such as gas safety certificates, EICR reports, EPC certificates or energy performance certificates are what I would class, well, not what I class, but the regulatory class as mandatory. So just make sure that you know what you're doing, or even speak to an agent like me or any other agent really that knows what they're doing with respect to regulations, because the fines nowadays are quite high, I believe. Mm. Touch wood, I've never really had any issues with something like that or of that nature. So just make sure that you're aware of what you need to do whilst letting your property. I believe there is sort of certain fees and regulations intact now that you can't just market your property yourself. Mm. So do spend a little bit of money and use an agent, because if you just put it on Facebook and you're not regulated, there are issues, I believe, that you could have by letting your property out yourself.
Definitely. Okay. And what things do you think a tenant should consider before signing a rental agreement?
I would ensure that they were able to afford the rent. Mm-hmm. That's just the main thing. With regards to referencing, we go through quite a stringent and extensive referencing process. You have to earn 3.5 times the annual rent in order to pass referencing as such. Mm-hmm. Be upfront with an agent as well if you're a tenant. I would always suggest that if you've got any adverse credit, it's not the end of the world as long as you're upfront and honest. CCJs and bankruptcy doesn't usually really affect it in a massively negative way. But if you have those, it's not the end of the world. There are ways around getting that to the next stage. Mm. And a rapport-based conversation from us to the landlord based on a past experience is usually okay. But with respect to making sure that the tenancy agreement is clear, double-check with your agent, double-check with us if you're using us, to make sure that if you're unsure of any clauses in a contract, just ask the question. Mm. Everyone should be able to explain what contracts they're giving out to people. So I'll just ensure that if you're a tenant and you're looking to rent a property, that you can afford the property, you're in a position to pay your deposit, your rent, and your rent ongoing. That's probably that in a nutshell, quite frankly. I think affordability really is what I would suggest.
Yeah. Okay, great. And what features are tenants looking for in a property since COVID, do you think?
Definitely versatility.
Yeah.
A lot of people are requesting either a second reception room or a third single bedroom that can be used as a home office, for example. I know that the restrictions of COVID as of yesterday have gone, quite frankly. So a lot of people will be going back to the office. I think businesses will act differently now, though. I think you'll see a difference of larger companies having everyone in the office at the same time. I think it'll be a bit of a drip feed of their staff going back to offices or larger offices. So we have seen a demand for home offices, for example, or space in the garden that they can set up a home office. I don't mean outside, I mean like they can create their in office in external building. An annex, for example, if people have got the money, that they're able to afford a property that has an annex that they can use as an office. Nowadays you get families that both mum and dad work, so it's nice to have the space that mum can work in one room and dad can be in an annex, or even use the dining room, for example, like I said earlier, as a versatile space that they can use the dining room for dining, and then during the day, for example, they can use it as a home office. So that's probably what I would say that people are looking for at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of demand for sort of blending your work and home life and stuff at the minute, especially with hybrid working and everything.
That's something I would definitely say. And other than that, I feel like people are just being wary of their own surroundings over the last 2 years. Mm. Obviously, people have been stuck at home. People are looking for bigger houses if they've been in a smaller property, and they've probably just got fed up with their house for a little while, and being a rented accommodation do have that flexibility. So by all means, I think people who have been either in a smaller property and have saved money over the last couple of years, if they've been able to, have been able to increase their rent. Mm-hmm. I would say that the versatility of a property is probably something that people are definitely looking for at the moment.
Definitely. And do you think rental agreements, can they be changed to allow for pets?
Yeah, indeed. So pets nowadays, there was a clause that came out last year, or some regulatory body mentioned that you can't really discriminate against pets. Mm-hmm. So as long as we're able to put a pet clause into an agreement that qualifies, such as professional cleaning of the property when a tenant vacates, mm-hmm. And any further damage caused by a pet subject to wear and tear can be taken from a deposit at the end of the tenancy. Mm-hmm. As long as that's all in place, there shouldn't be any problems. Mm. I personally don't see any issues with pets. Mm. I know some agents are completely against it, mm. quite frankly. Mm. And people have that perception that dogs and cats will ruin properties, but sometimes normal tenants can just ruin properties.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if you've got one pet or two small pets, for example, we're not adverse to that at IP12, quite frankly, as long as the right agreements, as you say, are put in place with regards to a pet clause, and the landlord's completely aware of who's moving in and what the pet is and breed of the dog or anything like that, or cat. Or snake or anything like that. Yeah, it's literally, as long as we're upfront and honest in the first instance and that we put the pet clause in place, then quite frankly, we've never really touched with had any bad problems, really, okay. If I'm honest.
Well, that's good to hear, yeah. It's nice to know that all the fluffy animals can be included.
Yeah, exactly,
well.
Yeah.
There's room for everyone.
Yeah, and Amelia, that works for me, absolutely adores cats.
Oh.
If anyone says sort of, oh no, we can't accept cats, I think she'll start getting a bit upset, to be honest. Oh. But there are landlords out there, just to make you aware, that have pet allergies, and they can suggest that they can't have pets in their property.
Yeah.
Because we don't manage every property that we deal with. The landlord might actually manage the property themselves, and they would need to be going around to do quarterly inspections or 6-monthly inspections, and with them having a pet allergy or a family member close by having a pet allergy, they actually can allow to say that they can't have pets in the property because they don't wish to take any cat hairs back, and if it's allergic reaction, etc., could be quite bad in some instances. So there are some landlords that can say no to pets, but as a whole nowadays it's meant to be relatively open.
Okay, great. And what are your predictions for the rental market in 2022?
It's been a dramatic start to the year. It's been pretty hectic. I think we literally doubled what we had on the market this time last year to now. Mm. I think we've let 24 properties as of yesterday, which is quite good.
Yeah, that's great.
And we've got quite an influx of properties coming to the market. I think we put 7 properties on this week.
Oh, wow, okay.
And to be brutally honest with you, not giving away any secrets, we probably only really put about 10 to 12 properties on a month.
Oh, wow, okay. Having seven
this week, for example.
Good,
the demand out there for landlords at the moment, well, us valuing properties, has risen. I would probably say doubled. I'm valuing more and more properties than I have done probably the last 3 years, I would say.
Okay, great.
I know we've had COVID and people don't really want you around their houses, etc., but quite frankly, the last, I would say, February has been extremely busy. My predictions for this year, I feel like the rental market is always going to be a bit of a bubble, because if the property market crashes slightly, I'm not saying it is and I'm not saying it isn't, there's always demand for property, and I feel like if there is a slight dip in the market, people might want to either cash in or cash out of their properties and then go into rented accommodation. I think we're going to be okay. And I think Ipswich is up and coming. I think we mentioned sort of off camera that it's up and coming. Felixstowe is up and coming. I think Suffolk as an area is definitely in demand. I don't think there's going to be any issues with the rental market as such. I think it's just going to increase. And it's down to people like myself that don't ruin the market and overvalue things. Mm. One, to win business. And two, we don't want to outprice local people. As much as I said earlier, we've had people from London come to the area. It's all nice and allowing people to do so. And I'm not saying we're going to shut people out.
Yeah.
But everyone local needs to rent. Otherwise, we're going to start outpricing people who are from our area that can't live in our area anymore.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I feel like I have a responsibility when I value properties. And I'll be brutally honest with you, I do sometimes lose business because I'm trying to be totally honest and not overvaluing a property based on trying to win that business, if that makes sense to you. So I feel like I have some responsibility
when
it comes to that.
I suppose it's really nice that you do that as well, because the rental market and just in general properties are so expensive at the minute, so it's good. And I suppose every person like you makes a difference to impact that. So
it's nice that we can have a conversation with a property owner and say, look, we can put it on the market at this. We sometimes can test the market, don't get me wrong. If they want like an extra £25 or £50 a month, for example, depending on the price structure, we can test that and the market will determine whether that's the right price or not. We are receiving an influx of inquiries within the first 3 or 4 hours of the property going online. So it is down to us to sort of manage that expectation and manage the service of our business and the people we're dealing with, because the more people we show around, the more we have to let down. It's going to be quite difficult, I think, with respect to demand, but it should be okay.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on. That's been great to have you on.
No worries, thank you.
And for all you guys at home, if you did enjoy this episode, please don't forget to like, share and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.